So here the Democrat Party is in complete control of the House of Representatives. They, with their January the 6th and January the 20th executed coups, complete control of the executive branch. Note, I didn't say President Biden. I said regime leader Biden. Basically, they have placed their fake conservative operatives, the notorious ACB, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, onto the Supreme Court. They've got the judicial branch. They have the judicial branch, it seems, at every level, anywhere in the United States. The only thing they don't have are governor's mansions and state houses of representing and senate. The feckless, useless, worthless Republican Party has that. 17 Republicans, don't ever forget, voted for the deconstructure bill, Babadook's, Buttigieg's deconstructure bill. Don't ever forget that. I don't think it matters because at this point in time, the greed of these people will ultimately be their undoing because pride always comes before the fall. Greed and pride are related. And you can see that nothing will ever be enough. Nothing will ever be enough. People are wondering what kinds of horrors await them when the deconstructure and the continuing resolution bills, when they go into effect after regime leader Biden signs them and all that. They shouldn't have any effect. And the reason they shouldn't have any effect is because if your state is going to survive and you're going to have any remaining semblance of freedom and detachment from the corona doom, you can't be in a union anymore. It's really coming down to that. Now, that may seem radical to some people. I don't think it's radical at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's overdue. Before we get into anything else, because I've got this on pause, I want to play you a digital media file. This is from Newsmax TV this morning. It's actually from The Hill newspaper. So we're going to talk about Biden, DeSantis, won the thriller in Jacksonville that's brewing here. We have a Jen Psychopath digital media file from yesterday where she basically makes a thinly veiled threat and then basically accuses Governor DeSantis of being some kind of genocidal maniac because he won't order that face diapers be strapped on five-year-olds. We'll start with this one here. Listen to this.
But obviously we believe that the parent rather than the government should ultimately be able to make that decision. I'm not sure that they have the wherewithal. They're also talking about imposing a potential nationwide mask mandate on kindergartners, first graders, you know, who knows, regardless of what the parents believe is in the best interest of their kids. And obviously, if you're talking about the federal government coming in and overruling parents in our communities, you know, that would be something that we would fight back vociferously against.
Couple of things there. Fight back. Not just fight back. Fight back vociferously against. That sounds like fighting words there. Vociferously. That's a big word. Hey, don't try to get Biden to say that. Because there's no ice cream flavor that rhymes with vociferously. I tell you what, Bob. You want a Rocky Mountain-y? Me? Rocky Road, I'm sorry. You want a Rocky Road-y? Me? Come on, Bob, put him up. Vociferously. Them's fighting words there. That means very agitated, very committed, very violent, very strong. Lots of fortitude in the word vociferously. What's old corn pop gonna do? So we had yesterday Jin Psychopath was asked a question about Governor DeSantis and what was going on in Florida with the kindergartner mask mandate. Now, remember, Biden himself said, we're looking into whether or not I can issue a nationwide kindergarten K-12 mask mandate. You issuing it and people falling in line and obeying are two different things. We have a story today at the Epoch Times on this to this end. This is an opinion column written by Dr. Peter Weiss. Depending on whose side you're on, grammatically speaking, Dr. Peter Weiss. Unmasking masks. He writes about how, from a surgeon's point of view, he actually, not all surgeries, but some surgeries that he's done on people that have been tested positive with corona doom, he'll go and wear an N95 mask. And he goes through the process of describing how it is that the N95, how they test whether or not you're fitted for it properly. They put you in a room, and then they put you in a little bubble, basically, and put the mask on you, and they crimp it around your nose and everything. And then they pump the bubble or the tube filled with this foul-smelling gas. If you can smell it, then it's not fitted correctly, and it makes you sick. If you can't smell it, then you're good to go. Well, yeah, sometimes it's a lemony or a citricy. It just depends on whatever they have. But Dr. Weiss makes the point. That's an N95 that has three layers of microfiber that can filter things out or catch things as small as 0.30 microns, and I guess that's 31/1000ths of an inch. A corona doom can get down as small as 0.35 microns, 35/100ths or 1/1000ths of an inch, whatever the measurement is. The point being here that the N95 in a limited environment, surgical setting, is a good protection going in or breathing out of virus. Now, it's not perfect. That's why it's an N95 and not an N100. An N95 means it catches 95%. I didn't know that until I read this article. An N100 is a respirator. It's hooked to an oxygen tank. You see it in the movies. You told me that?
I've said that many times on the Mike Church Show.
Wow! It's a Maggie moment! Woo-hoo! You want a referee? Biden, DeSantis, one thriller in Jacksonville. How many of you people that are listening right now get my little parody phrase there? Thriller in Jacksonville. Just curious. Probably no one. I'm probably the only one who gets my own joke. It's okay. Dr. Weiss says, I was a co-author of a paper on N95 masks that was published in 2007 in the American Journal of Public Health. It was written by my brothers and niece as well as myself. Yes, we're all physicians. Dr. Martin Weiss was the lead author. It was titled Disrupting the Transmission of Influenza A, Face Mask and Ultraviolet Light as Control Measures. One takeaway message from that article, which was written during the H1N1 scare, was that N95 masks can block 95% of particulate aerosols from penetrating into the mask, and we need to manufacture them now. They can block particles as small as 300 nanometers in size, which would block then the corona doom virus. Even though a corona doom is small enough to slide through the N95, the mask still has dense nanofibers that can catch the droplets. In an OR, it's the best we have unless you're willing to use an N100 respirator. The sad part is that our call for mass production of these masks back in 2007 went unheeded. We also stated that the goal is vaccines and therapeutics. While we have vaccines, therapeutics are lagging far and behind. Even discussing therapeutics is frowned upon now. Today, we are constantly bombarded by recommendations and even orders to wear masks when outdoors. L.A. County, New Tenochtitlan, and St. Louis are all implementing indoor mask mandates again. By the by, a quick programming note on that. I was going to go to what's going to become an annual rally for King St. Louis the Ninth in St. Louis. I went last year to go defend the statue, and of course it's still gloriously standing. I'm not traveling because I got to drive. It's 10 hours for me. I got to do it by myself. I can be miserable here and argue or know my hot spots, good spots, where I can go have a beer or oysters or whatever I want to do with friends and not be harassed to put a face diaper on. St. Louis's mayor, I believe, has just reignited his draconian, sadistic mask mandate. You can't go anywhere in that city. And if you think it's bad where you live, go to St. Louis. The sheeple mindlessly amble about in face diapers, inside and outside. If that's true, I'm going to rethink my travel because there are places we couldn't go. Because I'm like, I am not putting a table napkin on so I can go into a restaurant and walk 20 feet and then take it off to be subjugated to this. This is ridiculous. This is sadistic. It doesn't do anything to stop the spread of any infection. This is the ultimate in diabolical virtue signaling, these mask mandates. I got to tell you, if I leave here, no matter what time I leave, if I leave between, say, 2:30 in the afternoon and 4, somewhere on my route home, I'm going to get stuck either behind a school bus in this parish, a public school bus, or one's going to be coming at me. And ultimately, they're going to stop to let the little cheerings off. This has happened every day this week, so 3 times this week. And then I had to sit there and watch these 5- and 6-year-olds get off the school bus with their face diapers on. And I just think to myself, has that kid been wearing that nasty you-know-what all day long? It's 92 degrees out.